We are live. It is radio.
Woo!
Meow with me!
Meow!
I think M-E-O-W should be an acronym.
Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus ceruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This keeps a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it? Is it working, Megan and Davi? Is it working, Megan and Davi? Can you feel it?
I sure
can.
Feel
it.
Yeah.
I feel it.
Excellent. Excellent. You like my new intro?
I dig it.
I like ion cannons. It's one of my favorite words.
That's in the second hour. I had all of that and more in the first hour, but it was too long.
I'll have to stick around for the second hour then.
You should, since you're scheduled to. Yeah. So I'm Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. I'm talking to Davi Barker, the Shiny Badger. Are you there, Davi? Have you been contacted by the government? Are you safe?
I am safe. I have not been contacted by the government.
All right. And we have Ms. MK Lords. Megan, what is your radio wrestling name?
It is the Wolfram Panther.
Yeah. Now, what is Wolfram? That's tungsten, right?
Wolfram. Yes. Tungsten. You'll notice that on the periodic table, tungsten is annotated as W. That's from Wolfram. Huh. So it's often called Wolfram in other countries.
That sounds like, I mean, it's probably an alchemic name for it from, you know, back in the day, but it almost sounds like a pagan, like, you know, like add Eye of Newt and a dash of Wolfram.
Yeah.
Right. I like
it's like Wolf's Bane.
Sound of it better. Yeah.
That's why it sounds like it. Yeah. All right. So
it turns out meow is an acronym, and it's kind of a fun meow. One.
Oh, we're going to talk about acronyms.
It stands for the moral equivalent of war.
Okay, hang on a sec.
Oh.
Hang on a sec.
once
an hour, since we're not talking about politics, we have to start with this. Barack Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink.
It's true. And socialism is the moral equivalent of war.
Yeah. What does that
mean? It's a war on the people that are taxed to pay for it.
Yeah. Oh, it is Veterans Day. We want to mention that.
Oh,
and,
it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
You mean Armistice Day?
What's that?
You mean Armistice Day?
Yeah, it's also my late mother's birthday. November 10th was my mother, Virginia Wareham Dean's birthday, and that's where I get the W in my name. And, you know, that's kind of interesting because the password for, like, every bank account ever, you know, like, when you call up, you're like, I lost my, blah, blah, blah. They always say, well, what's your mother's maiden name? But I've made it a public fact what my mother's maiden name was, because I talk about how it's my weird middle name, Wareham. Sometimes I say Werecat, but it's Wareham. It's at Wareham. It's a town in England. And so with all my banks and everything, I had to like call up and wait and talk to support and change that. So that's not my my safe word with banks. But yeah, she would be 88 today. She died at 75 of cancer. And she is missed. She is part of why I am what I am today. She's pretty cool. And she was from Nebraska, but met my dad at a family reunion. They're not related by blood. They were related by someone else's marriage and met at a family reunion. So there's that. And moving right along, Davi was talking about acronyms. So meow is an acronym for something?
Yeah. So meow, I mean, I'm sure it's an acronym for other things, but the first thing that came up was the moral equivalent for war, which is apparently, it comes from a Jimmy Carter speech in 1977, where he said that the energy crisis of the 70s was the moral equivalent of war. And
who is it war? The Arabs?
Yeah, it's probably AIPAC or something.
Yeah.
You know, whoever America was trying to come up with a reason to invade at the time.
whoever America had given a monopoly on energy to, yeah.
You know, I have such a short attention span. I can never remember if we're at war with Eurasia or Oceania, but I know that we always have been.
Always.
Yeah. Yep.
But I think it's a good phrase, moral equivalent of war. I kind of want to adopt it because
I like it too.
It sort of encapsulates the full aggression principle,
all governments all the time are the moral equivalent of war. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you really think about it, like, okay, like most of our listeners, most of our, you know, conservative small government listeners would probably agree that it would be an act of war if Barack Obama outlawed owning gold and silver and sent soldiers door to door to confiscate it the way that who did that? FDR or was it Wilson?
FDR did that.
Yeah,
it was FDR. Yeah.
Yep. And most of our listeners would probably agree that that's the moral equivalent of war. And it's really just a matter of degrees, you know, to like things you don't like. Like I would say, if you agree with that, you should agree that it's the moral equivalent of war, you know, to kick in people's doors for taking pot.
Well, I mean, it also makes sense as cat speech, right? Like if I'm using the restroom and I close the door and the cat is locked out and he says, what you're doing is the moral equivalent of war.
Well, there's actually a phrase in the Freedom Fiends. We don't talk about the glossary much, but if you go to freedomfiends.com and click on the glossary tab at the top of the page, one of our sayings that's on there is cats must flow. And it's a takeoff on the phrase spice must flow from the Dune trilogy. And it, you know, it's kind of like if you shut a door, you know, if you're taking a nap and you shut the door to keep the cats from bothering you, they'll bother you more because they have to flow. And it's our analogy for the free market. Like the market must flow without tariffs or interference from governments. And that's the true free market. But the picture we used on there that we found, there's two pictures for cats must flow. And one is taken from the other side of the door of a cat poking his nose and paw under the door, which they do when you shut the door. And the other is a kitten sitting in front of a closed door looking really sad. And the caption is, it harms me when you shut the bathroom door.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, putting barriers in the market is the moral equivalent of war. That's why sanctions are an act of war.
Well, you're good at acronyms. You got a pen there, Davi?
I do.
And you got one, Megan?
I do, yes.
Because here's what I'm thinking. I think we need to come up with an extended acronym related to the moral equivalent of war for the French spelling of what cats say, which is M-A-I-O-U.
Meow. M-A-I-O-U?
Yes, yes.
That doesn't look anything like meow.
Yeah. Oh, no, French. No, I'm sorry. It's like M-I. It's M-I-A-O-U.
M-I-A-O-U. That looks a little that more looks, like
that's,
meow.
That's meow.
Yeah.
It's meow.
Yeah. So maybe during the break, one of you could come up with an acronym for, you know, some the moral idiotic something of, I don't know. There's no war in there, but maybe you could come up with a
We've
good.
We've got M-I-A right in there. Missing in action.
There you go. Missing in action. Occupy United. I don't know. Occupy United. Yeah. Yep. So we were going to talk about more. That's a good. That is the moral equivalent of war. Meow. That's a good acronym. But he didn't say it as an acronym, right? Did journalists make that?
No, journalists called it the meow speech. So yeah, that's what happened.
Okay. So we were going to talk
meow
about
speech.
We were going to talk about poor acronyms and why people who are trying to create a world-changing movement should probably Google.
Yeah, Google your acronym, people.
Before you go with it. You wanted to talk about what does BDSM stand for?
It stands for the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions Movement, which is about people who boycott Israeli companies in an effort to sort of put pressure on them to do something about the Middle East. And one of those companies is Nescafe. And the reason that it's on my mind is because I broke down and bought Nescafe today because it's just a better product and it's hard to turn down a better product.
Yeah.
So it's been on my mind, but it's always struck me as like the funniest of acronyms. If any organization was to have benefited from Googling their acronym before they bought the website, it would have been this one. So Michael, what does BDSM stand for?
Colloquially, it stands for bondage, discipline, and sadomasochism, which is a umbrella term for alternative sexualities. I don't know. The word alternative sexuality usually implies homosexuality, but BDSM can be either straight or gay, but it can stand for, and you know, I wouldn't talk about this stuff on the weekend show, but it's the nighttime. All the kids are asleep, so we can talk about this. It actually can also be broken down as three acronyms. I believe it's bondage and discipline, domination and submission, and sadomasochism. It's like three clusters in four letters. So it basically means you're kinky. It means you like a little slap and tickle. Which is really bizarre that this group that's committing the economic equivalent of war to get a country to stop committing the economic equivalent of war. It's not really a boycott. Isn't the economic equivalent of war, but
well, it's a mixed bag, right? Because they're calling for governments to sanction, which means that they want to prevent me. They want to prevent the free market from purchasing things from those places. But they also want advocate a boycott, which is the free market equivalent, the decentralized sanction. And so, like, one is an act of war, or one is one is an act of war because it's aggressing against people who want to trade. And the other is an active market because it's refusing to trade with people who you find morally abhorrent, right? So it's the same with all statism. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah, it's the free market. It's fascism. It's the free market controlled by the government.
Yeah, so there are some companies that I'll boycott, but I will never call for a sanction. I will never call for a government enforced boycott.
Well, sanctions often hurt, you know, the stock boy more than they hurt the nation or the corporations.
Yeah, absolutely they do. They also, like, when you boycott a company because it's on a particular geographic landmass, that doesn't necessarily influence the government of that landmass. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it would please me more than anything if the market flowed through Palestine and Israel without barrier, right?
Yeah.
But these people would call that, I don't know what they would call that, but they don't want that. So, I don't know.
What say you, Megan?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I've never heard of this other term for BDSM before. So this should be kind of reminds me of those The More You Know kind of commercials. It's like, oh, yeah, I learned that today. This should be a little star, like The More You Know, ding. But
I'm not going to say how I know that.
No, I mean, I didn't know Davi's definition of it. I knew what the other one was. But no, as far as sanctions go, I mean, yeah, it only ends up hurting the people. You know, it doesn't affect really the governments that much. And seriously.
BDSM could involve sanctions, but they'd be voluntary two people.
I was about to say that form of BDSM is a function of free markets, too. I mean, it's a voluntary act. It's the complete opposite of the other acronym.
So, you know, I interviewed this so-called libertarian philosopher from Canada who's really well known, who I dare not speak his name. I don't know. No, it was Molyneux. I interviewed him a couple of years ago and I said something about BDSM and he got really, he's square, man. He's really like, and made fun of me. Like, you sit around in a gimp suit? And I'm like, no, man. I mean, he just, you know, like, made fun of me. It was, that guy's square. All right, we'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah. So we're talking about acronyms. Myself, Michael Dean, and Davi Barker, and MK Lords. We're talking
MK
about...
MK is an acronym.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Do you want to say what it stands for?
Well, the MK in my name is Megan Kellison. It's just my legal name.
Okay.
But then there's also MK Ultra.
Yeah.
Which I am in no relation to.
Yeah, I called you that one time. I don't know if it was to your yes. face, but I referred to you as that by accident when I first started talking to you. I think I was talking about you, or did I say it to you? I forget.
I don't know, but I'm more of like an uncontrolling your mind, and that's more of like a controlling your mind kind of thing. Yeah. So
MK Ultra was a government program in the 50s and 60s for the CIA trying to develop mind control techniques. The best known part of that was giving LSD to unwitting soldiers and civilians. And one guy jumped out a window, and a lot of people had a lot of mental problems because of it. And the government denied it for many years. So, like, there were vets who were brain damaged from being mind raped by being given large quantities of LSD without consent. And I'm not saying that taking LSD makes you crazy. But being given LSD without any warning, you would think you're going crazy.
And
they didn't get any support from the VA because the Army denied having done this for many years. But we were trying to come up with an acronym for meow.
Meow.
The French version of meow. How do you spell it, Davi?
M-I-A-O-U.
Yeah, and MK came up with something. What was it?
Okay, so I came up, I don't know, I got a few different things for M, but I'm going to go with moms initiating aggression on uniforms.
Yeah, you said unicorns below.
I did say unicorns, but I like you made a suggestion of uniforms, and that could be interesting too. Or monks initiating aggression on uniforms. These are militant monks.
You is a
little different than your average monk.
You is a tough word. How about unions?
Unions I had is good.
Moms
unions.
Initiating aggression on unions.
I have underlings.
Like yeah, you Ooh. Is a yeah, that's good. You is a hard word. I'm looking at a Scrabble site, and you is one of the letters that has the fewest words that start with U. So, ulcers, umbrellas.
The Ministry of International Abstinent Ovulating Underlings.
Said meow.
Meow. Meow.
Yeah. And I can think of another really poorly named, Google wasn't around then, but somebody should have said, you might want to have a different thing for that. And it's the retirement account, an individual retirement account, or IRA, which shares an acronym with the Irish Republican Army, which is largely considered to be the longest running terrorist group in a Western nation, you know, that like still functions today to some extent.
Unless you're Peter King.
Oh, yeah. Peter King, United States Republican congressman. Here's the kind of gambler's fallacy choice they give you when you vote for the lesser of two evils. You know, Democrats are all evil. And so a lot of people will be like, well, I'll vote for the Republican no matter what. So they vote for Peter King from New York, congressman. Peter King, other than being very into the idea that the NSA should be able to unconstitutionally spy on every American, he also gave money and support to the IRA back in the day, which is pretty bizarre. I mean, literally, he gave aid and comfort to a foreign organization that is defined as a terrorist organization by America and England. And he's a U.S. congressman. He's a sitting U.S. congressman who is making
that old thing.
Right. Too soon. Yeah.
We found a fun one for meow in English.
What is it?
Men enjoying older women.
Ah, there
so
you
it's sort
go.
Of like a PG-13 MILF, since we can't say what MILF stands for on the radio.
It means mother, I'd like to Facebook. Mother, I'd like to friend. Mother, I'd like to friend on Facebook. I said that to Lou the other day. Actually, he was talking to sylphs, which are statists I'd like to friend book. He was talking to older divorced ladies who were statists but curious about all this liberty stuff, and he was trying to convince them that roads would still exist without the government. And I said on the air that he was talking to sylphs.
Well, and interestingly, older women are often referred to as cougars when they pursue younger men. So, like, the meow acronym, it totally works for these guys.
It's cougars and meow.
Cougars and meow.
Have you guys seen the video going around of a porcupine fending off, like, eight cougars? And I mean the cat, not the human.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, man. It's that should be the Free State Project's motto, is the video of a porcupine fending off eight wildcats.
Was Derek J in this video?
No. I think it might be from Wyoming. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink. But that's boring. Everybody, every other radio show talks about that. So you can go listen to them. We agree with it, though. But we're going to talk about fun stuff. I do want to give some news you can use. If you are a user of Charter Internet Service, cable internet service. So regular listeners to this show have been will know about this. For the past almost 3 months, my Charter Internet has been horrible between 6 p.m. and midnight every night, give or take just a few minutes. Like at 6, it just goes down to like dial-up speed, dropping packets, like can barely surf the web, cannot connect to do this radio show. So I had to go out and get a DSL line, a second line. I had to go back in time to the 90s and get a DSL line from a different company and pay $40 a month extra for that. 36 bucks a month extra for that. I had to buy a $275 switching router, and then pay somebody to, configure it so it would pick the best internet connection and just use that. So I have that and I like that. And after the first month of bad internet service, I called up Charter. Here's the news you can use. If you've been having this problem, your mileage may vary, but this is what I did. I called up Charter and I very politely said, you know, for the past month between 6 p.m. and midnight every night, the internet has been horrible. You know, I would like to get at least some of my money back. They said, let me put you on hold for a minute. They came back and they said, sir, we will give you all your money back for that month. So, you know, I didn't have to pay for the internet, but I wish I would have rather paid for it and had it work. But, and they also like sent out 3 technicians in 1 month to my house. Technicians spent over an hour here each, looked at my computer, plugged things into my modem, replaced my modem twice, went out in the backyard, got up on a ladder, checked the box, the incoming box, you know, put some wires in there and tested it. Said, I don't know what it is. Everything looks good. Cause during the day when they come out, it's good. So they had no idea. The tech support people on the phone had no idea. The billing people on the phone had no idea, but I was kind of surprised that the billing people were just like, oh, well, we'll refund all your money for that month. So this goes on for another month. I called today to, get the second month taken off my bill. They promptly took it off the bill. No questions asked. I've never had an internet service provider do that. Just say, you know, sometimes they'll give you some money off if you have outages or whatever, but they just gave me all the money back for that month, the second month. But they said, well, this is a problem related to the fact that we're switching over from partial analog in your area to full cable in your area, and it should be fully fixed tomorrow. And I said, really? They've never told me that before. And she's like, oh, I just got this information. So I said, let me talk to the tech people. I talked to them. They told me the exact same thing. So, and I did get something in the mail that said they were switching over to full cable, full digital. And if we still had an analog TV box, we should call them, you know, and get it switched over. Like if you still had like the old grandpa TV with the analog to digital converter hooked up to your cable, box. So it was a public fact that they were switching over, you know, like, I guess they were finally getting the last miles of old copper cable and replacing them with fiber. And the way they do that, really, like, they don't have to dig up the ground. They have big pipes in the ground already laid. They used to send tie a string to a hamster and run it through the tube. And then when it comes out the other end, tie that to the cable and pull it through. I don't know if that's how they do it anymore. They probably still do in Wyoming, but that's how cable used to be laid. And, so here's the thing that's bizarre is like somebody at the upper levels of this company, I'm guessing, may have known that there was an outage, you know, that this would affect people late at night, from 6 to 12 every night. And I'm guessing, I don't have any proof of this, but I'm guessing, you know, they told the billing people, okay, a few people will call in about this. If they do, just give them their money back and don't tell them why. Or maybe they didn't tell the billing people why. But each time I called And they went and talked to a manager. They came back within 2 minutes and said, "Oh, no problem, sir. We'll give you that money back," which is unheard of for that kind
of. It's the recall equation. It is from Fight Club. Exactly. It is less expensive to just pay off the people who experience the problem than it is to fix the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or to admit the problem, because it seems like, you know, I'm guessing what was happening was they were doing the switchovers between 6 and 12 every night, and they probably were turning off, you know, large banks of routers, or they weren't connecting because those part of the cables in town or in the state or in the region were not available when they're replacing the cables. And they've been doing this for 2 months and 10 days. So, you know, 60, 70, 70 days. Yeah. And they said, "Oh, it'll be all fixed tomorrow. So we'll see." But I'm still going to keep the DSL because, you know, once a year we get an ice storm and it takes out the cable lines, or it's actually just more robust and solid, even considering, because cable internet is much faster than DSL, but you share it with your neighbors. So if they're all using it, you slow down. Whereas DSL is dedicated and it's fast enough to do this show. So that's my experience, strength, and hope, is if you are using an internet company, particularly one that begins with a CH in the Mountain West, and you've been experiencing these problems, I'd recommend you consider calling them and very politely explaining the problem and asking for your money back for the time it's been down.
And there you go.
There you go. News you can
market
use.
Market win.
Yep. So unless anyone's got any comments on that, which I do welcome comments on that, we can move on to either snow in Florida, the 5-second rule, or the hamster zona free ovum test.
The what now?
Oh, the hamster zone. Well, I am the iron hamster. Okay, here's what's up. There's a page in some weird corner of Wikipedia called Unusual Articles, and it is a list of several hundred articles on Wikipedia that just make you go, "Oh my."
You'd be amazed how many of these are military operations designed to explode cute animals.
Yeah. And then there's then there's the guy who had the iron rod in his head and it changed his life and made him a better person. That's one that's on here. Phineas Gage.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, but go ahead, Donnie.
I mean, everything. It's like rats and dogs and cats and bats and emus. Like, the military has experimented with every kind of animal to try to weaponize them.
Yeah, and you know, the one that was the least successful was cats, which is
why none of them were successful. But I guess, yeah, least successful is still a category in a list of failures.
Well, there's a picture from the Fabulous Furry Freak Brothers, which I've been trying to get you to look at, Davi. It's an underground comic from the 60s, and there was a spin-off called Fat Freddy's Cat, but there's one where Fat Freddy goes into a bar and he's saying to the guys in the bar, "Dogs are fascist," and they're like, "How can you know the politics of an animal?" And he's like, "Well, have you ever seen a police cat?" And you never do see a police cat because they don't cooperate. They can't be really trained. They can't be pointed at something and it'd be expected to go there. Thus the phrase herding cats for dealing with a lot of people. Yeah.
The state tells a cat to do something and the cat says meow.
Yeah. And the state tells a dog to do something and it's like, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right away, sir." And they, you know, I mean, police dogs, like they give them sergeant designations and they give them military funerals and they give them badges.
Yep.
Yeah. Cats
Wolf should
something
stand
you
for
want.
Something statist. Or bark. Maybe we should come up with a statist acronym for bark.
What's that, Megan?
There you go. Well, I was going to say, cats are good evil sidekicks. You know, like if you're an evil genius, you know, the tropes and stuff. They're good to kind of sit on your lap, like hang out, maybe give you feedback on your evil ideas. But, you know, they don't got to go along with it. So, but you want them as a sidekick.
Dr. Claw had a cat.
Yes, Dr. Claw, exactly.
Yeah. One of these in here I think should be a real thing. I mean, it is a real thing, but I think it should be celebrated every year. So, apparently, February 19th, 1942 is called If Day. And it was a simulation in Canada of what if Nazi Germany invaded Canada. But I just think If Day is such a great like thing. Like, what if every February 19th, people just like picked an if, you know, sort of like Lent, and said, "I'm going to live my life as if this today."
I like it. Have you ever seen the American Dad episode where ultra patriotic Republican gun owner, Stan Smith, who works for the CIA. It's kind of based on, you know, the Ghost of Christmas Past. What's that story?
Christmas Carol.
A Christmas Carol. Yeah. And the basic premise of it is that something altered in the space-time continuum with the butterfly effect and the ripple to the future. And Stan has to go back in time and shoot Ronald Reagan to prevent the USSR from invading America.
Wow.
Yeah. And he loves Reagan, so he can't do it. It's hard for him to do it. But he has to do it. And the Ghost of Christmas Past that visits him is kind of a fairy angel who's played by the woman who played, who voiced by the woman who played Phoebe on Friends. And it kind of looks like her.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But, yep, he has to go back in time and shoot Ronald Reagan because a whole bunch of events didn't happen. And Reagan didn't get shot. And because Reagan didn't get shot, and get the sympathy, not really sympathy vote, but he did gain a lot of political power after that for having survived that. Like, he seemed tough as nails.
Right.
And in this alternate reality, his opponent won, who I think is Mondale. And then it's like, you know, they show him like 52 days after being elected president, handing America over. And he's like kneeling and kissing Gorbachev's foot. Yeah. So I like If Day.
Yeah. I'm going to write this down. I'm going to bring it up in February.
All right.
I'll have it all worked out by then.
So, Megan, you got an article you wanted to discuss on the We Unusual Articles page?
Well, you know, I was kind of stoked on the snow in Florida one. That's something I've experienced. I live in Florida, and it's very rare, and a lot of people make fun of Florida because it doesn't snow, and we have no idea how to drive in snow. So if it ever snows even just a little bit, they shut down the entire city. And this actually happened last year.
Yeah.
In January. So they shut down the whole city, which was totally necessary. We don't have any kind of infrastructure to deal with snow. But it was kind of interesting, you know, a snow day in Florida. And I love this entry. And the way I'm kind of like reading it is in a southern accent. You know, it's really interesting. Snow.
Yeah. I'm looking at the picture of the snow that shut everything down in Florida. And I'm like, there is that much snow in my town right now. And people haven't even really noticed it snowed here in Wyoming, barely. It is 8 degrees out here, though.
It was madness.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com. Meow, meow. Meow, meow. So we were talking about snow in Florida, but before we do, I want to talk real quick about Libertopia, which is Libertopia, is it .com?
.org, I think.
.org. All right. So what is it? And you guys are speaking at it. It's in San Diego, but what is it?
It's Liberty Forum West, essentially. It's a conference of libertarian speakers and vendors sort of taking over a hotel for a weekend and having a good time.
Yep, yep.
I'll be there. My topic is the undead democracy apocalypse, and I'm also going to be on the panel with Megan.
Yeah.
Or MK.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm psyched.
And it's going to be really fun, I think. I'll be speaking on Bitcoin and activism. My talk is titled "Everyone Hates Activists and How Bitcoin is Changing That." And yeah, I'll also be on the panel with Davi on Bitcoin as a Force for Good is the title of that panel.
Yeah.
There you go.
Bitcoin charity.
Are you going to bring your laptop and mic, Davi, and do a show live from there?
I can definitely bring my mic. Sure.
And your laptop?
And yeah, the laptop too. I bring my laptop everywhere I go.
Okay. Well, we'll after the show, stick around, both of y'all, and we'll talk a little bit and try to find a day for that, because I like to have the live from blah, blah, blah. But
yeah.
Yeah. So I have a critique of their website. If anybody's planning on making their own event, put the dates of the event, you know, the month and, you know, like March 12th through 16th, whatever, like put that and the year, put that at the top of the darn site. So many events don't do that. And that's the first thing I want to know when I'm considering attending something. And a lot of people don't do it right. But Davi, you said somebody does it right.
Oh, well, Walker Stalker Con has, I think, 8 different conventions throughout the year now. And if you go to their website, it's essentially like the front page is just like a list of the 8 cities. And when you scroll over the city, it pops up the date. And it's like no brain, no thinking. No, there's nowhere else to click. You don't have to scroll down anywhere. And
I think that's a good difference between conferences that are organized on a larger level and maybe some of the smaller activist organized conferences is a lot of times it's run by volunteers and you get bogged down in a lot of the details and you miss sometimes very obvious things. I mean, I've organized a couple Bitcoin conferences and experienced this myself. There were some very I got to the conference and people were like, yeah, why wasn't this and why wasn't that? And I was like, oh, duh, you know, very duh things that you should have done. But, yeah. You know, sometimes they kind of slip over, especially if you don't have a professional organizing team, if you're just working with volunteers who maybe aren't as well experienced.
Well, so. Libertopia also had, yeah, go ahead. Over.
But yeah, I mean, so I'm going to give them some slack on that. It does look really fun. You know,
I'm not going to give them some slack on that. Right, I'm not going to give them slack on that. And here, this is news you can use. Anybody listening, if you are ever involved as one of the volunteers organizing some cool event, bring that up. Hey, guys. Hey, gals. Let's put the dates at the top of every page.
There yeah, let's put yeah. You know, all the information good. In good descending facts. Order of importance.
Yeah, you know, I'm a really big fan of information in descending order of importance. And I get kind of...
That's a show title right there.
Yeah, my brain kind of hurts when people don't think to do that, like when let's say if we're if I'm booking dates for speakers on this show and I call people up and they're like and I'm booking 4 months at a time, they're like, yeah, give me the 27th Thursday, and I'm like, what month? You know, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. I need the month first so I can get to that part of it. And when people tell a story, they often bury the lead, they often kill the headline. You know, they're like, yeah, and Bill said to me that blah, 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 and Sally said that blah, and you're like, wait, what are you talking about? What happened? Start with the big thing and go down in the taxonomy, smaller and smaller and smaller. That's how people consume information. And I do have a complaint about one of the listings on this site is the guy Mark Stevens. He says on his bio on here that he is the host of the only radio show on the air dedicated to bringing about a voluntary society. What does that make us? Fascists?
We must be Mark Stevens' show. Is he a co-host now?
I don't know, because there are at least 2 lies in that. He's not on the air. He's not on radio. There's 3 lies. He's not on air. He's not on radio. That's the same thing. It's 2 lies. And he's not the only show. He's not the only host, man. Freedom Fiends have 15 hosts. And Free Talk Live has, you know, 2 main hosts, but they have about 10 hosts total. So he's throwing 35 people under the bus and saying he's the only one talking about bringing about a dedicated to a voluntary society. Someone sent me a link to some forum where they were discussing this, and I was shocked. And he knows we exist. He knows Free Talk Live exists because the only place he is heard is on Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live's Liberty Radio Network streaming internet radio show. Network.
And that's the whole network.
Yeah, man. It's like 40 shows of people dedicated to bringing about a voluntary society. So that guy's lying. Mark Stevens is lying on his libertopia.org thing.
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at trueshibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. trueshibes.com.
Freedom Fiends, Hour 2. Good evening, Sundance, Wyoming. Good evening, Belle Fouche, South Dakota. Those two pick us up in the second hour. I am Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. I am talking to Davi Barker, the shiny badger. Are you there? Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government, Davi?
I am here, and I have not been contacted by the government.
And we have MK Lords, who is the Wolfram. What is it?
Panther.
The Wolfram Panther. And are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
I am great, and the government has not contacted me.
Yep. And what website should we give out for you there, MK?
Bitcoin Not Bombs actually works. Yeah.
And Davi Shiny Badger. No, shinybadges.com. You're also involved with Bitcoin Not Bombs, right?
Yep.
Yep. And what is Bitcoin Not Bombs?
It is the world's first decentralized aircraft. Bitcoin Not Bombs is a Bitcoin organization sort of dedicated to a number of causes. It's sort of it's an organic thing, but we help nonprofit organizations or charitable organizations launch their adoption of Bitcoin. We have our own sort of charitable activities like Hoodie the Homeless and things like that. And we're also sort of an outreach organization, and we're also sort of constantly sort of making sure that the free market sort of market anarchist perspective is present at various sort of Bitcoin events. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do the hour two intro, which is, this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza in the artificial satellite on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region.
There you go.
So we were talking in the first hour about Mark Stevens' bio on the libertopia.org site, and the bio claims that he is the only radio host on the air dedicated to bringing about a voluntary society. And he's not on radio, and he's not the only one. Freedom Fiends has 15 hosts. And Free Talk Live has, you know, between 5 and 10, depending on who's on that week.
You know, give him some credit, though. He's the only one on his radio.
Yeah, he wires his iPod into his radio. There you go. And, you know, it is possible that he didn't send that in, and they found it somewhere. Someone else said it about him. They made it up. But it's wrong. It should be fixed. It's not true. But didn't someone do the same thing? Like, they didn't Google before they said they were the first. Wasn't there some organization well after Bitcoin Not Bombs that said they were the first? What was it, Davi? What'd they say? It was some college.
Well, the MIT claimed that they were the first Bitcoin economy, which is kind of a ridiculous thing to say, because Bitcoin is an economy. This is something else Bitcoin Not Bombs does. We are the world's first Bitcoin, world's first officiating committee.
Yes.
So if you claim to be the world's first Bitcoin something, we are the world's first officiating committee to officiate that claim.
You have to get your intergalactic bit license from us.
And that's a real thing. I haven't got it in the mail yet. Supposedly somebody made an intergalactic bit license. Isn't that based on Namecoin somehow?
I think somehow. I'm not sure how exactly. There's a couple of different ways you can actually associate your Bitcoin address with a short name. Namecoin is one of them, but I think there are a few different forms of bit licenses and ways that people can do that, and we facilitate that.
Yeah, I just renewed my domain name Wormcoin because after Derek makes Fiend Phone and we come up with a way to do hell banning on WordPress, make a WordPress plugin for hell banning. Hell banning is pretty cool. I want to be able to do this. Hell banning is a method of banning someone from a website so they still can post on it and they can see their posts, but nobody else can see their posts. It's a really passive aggressive way to ban somebody, but I think it would be awesome to be able to do that on the Fiend site because once in a while we get these people who are like really snitty, but not like mean enough that you can just feel good about banning them outright. And what I would like to do is just make it so they can keep posting and nobody replies. So they just think, and I don't even see it.
They're just suddenly unpopular.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to make a hell banning plugin for WordPress. And when that's done and Fiend Phone is done, which is a replacement for Skype that we fundraised to work on and he's working on, Derek and I are going to solve the distributed DNS problem because Namecoin solved it, but then no one adopted it. But it didn't really solve it because it had the problem of it's 6 cents to register a domain. So people basically squatted every domain. So we're trying to figure out a way to do to discourage squatting without making it too expensive to register a domain, and also make it decentralized. And we're putting our brains to that, but we're going to make something called Wormcoin, which is going to do that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm. What about Meowcoin?
There is a Meowcoin already. There's a Catcoin. It's like a clone of, I don't know if it's a clone of Dogecoin, the dog coin, but it's a clone of the idea of Dogecoin, and it's a cat coin. It's the icon on it is that I can't remember.
Is it Grumpy Cat?
No, it awesome should be Grumpy Cat, but actually Grumpy Cat has a manager and they'd probably sue you. Grumpy Cat, they're making a movie about Grumpy Cat, but no, it's that like Chinese or Japanese icon that, you know, you can buy little statues of the cat with its paw.
Oh, the good fortune cat thing. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, cat C A T E is the arch nemesis of Doge, D O G E.
Ah, where'd you get that?
It's just
from your brain.
It's part of the memory of the Doge.
For those of you who have no idea what we're talking about,
we did not just break into Latin.
Why don't there's actually? Why doesn't one of you explain cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin? Because aren't people listening who don't know what it is. If you say, oh, man, and can't do it, I can do it. But you guys have been into it long.
Take a shot at it.
No. Cryptocurrencies, they're a digital currency. It's a way to transfer value from one person to another peer-to-peer without any middleman. So Bitcoin is the most popular one. Bitcoin is a currency. But capital B Bitcoin, it refers to the network and the payment system on which the currency, lowercase Bitcoin operates. So
I didn't know that. I didn't know about the capital small.
Right. So the lowercase b is the currency and the uppercase b is the protocol or the network. And that's what allows you to send value back and forth from people. And it doesn't need any government approving the transactions. Once the transaction is sent, it's sent. It can be sent back if the receiver decides to send it back. But what's cool is these transactions are sender initiated. So there's no one who can. So you can look at someone's Bitcoin wallet address, their public address where you send them funds, and see how much they've received and how much they've sent out to other addresses. But what you can't do is take their address and demand money from them. Whereas with credit card companies, you can hold on to someone's personal information and you can ping them back. Now, a lot of times you can fight this with your credit card companies and get these charges paid back to you if they're fraudulent. But sometimes it's difficult to go through that process. With Bitcoin, that's not really as much of an issue. Now, you do have to be really careful about security. You have to really look into taking the right security precautions, because if someone hacks into your account,
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Davi didn't hack anyone's account. Davi got hacked. But before we do that, I want to correct one thing.
I did too.
So one thing you said, I think one thing you said was incorrect, was you said that somebody can't find your, if they find your Bitcoin address, the government can't come demand it back, or a person can't demand, you give it up. They can. But I think what you were saying was that, there's no central authority that can do it for them.
Right.
Well, you can send however many demands you want, but you can't.
Well, I mean, but if the
you can have their wallet stored. For instance, you have a record on your, say you have a phone app and you have a bunch of your Bitcoin addresses stored in your wallets as addresses for other people. You have a record of their addresses, but in no way does that give you power to take Bitcoin from them.
Right. But a government could seize that from them, or thugs could break into their house and hold a gun to their head.
If they have the private key, if they have access to the private key, which decrypts it and allows you to send the Bitcoin from that address.
Right. But, the person who owns the address has the public key. So somebody could beat them with a rubber hose until they gave up the key.
Yeah, it is possible. Yeah. I mean, you could get it under coercion.
You said it was impossible.
I just wanted to correct that
it's not impossible. You made it sound like there's magical fairy dust protecting someone from coercing your key out of you.
Not in the same. I was comparing it to credit cards, in the same way that someone has your credit card number and can take money out of your account.
Right, because credit cards have a third. They're not decentralized. They have a third party, the credit card company, who can be forced to give up your money or information.
Well, that too. Right.
I was just clarifying what you said. What you said was unclear, and it sounded like Bitcoin has some magical power that prevents, you know,
there's essentially there's no physical address of Bitcoin Incorporated for the IRS to send letters to.
Yeah, basically, Bitcoin can be stolen, though. I mean, it can be hacked, mm-hmm. but it's easy to prevent it from being hacked if you take some simple precautions. But basically, you know, Bitcoin has the same problems that having cash in your wallet would have of somebody can force you to give it up. Somebody can physically hold a gun to your head and make you hand it over.
Well, there's a sense in which like anything can be hacked because you can hack the person. I mean, that's what a con artist does.
Well, that's called rubber hose in decryption. Do you know that term?
I know I don't, but that's funny.
Yeah. There's a Google search that on Wikipedia. Rubber hose decryption is basically if something is absolutely unbreakable encryption, a government can still beat someone with a rubber hose until they give up the key or the password.
Right. Yeah. Whenever coercion is involved, then yeah, that's always going to be an issue. But something that I think is kind of interesting with Bitcoin is we're not necessarily competing with a perfect system. And Bitcoin definitely has its flaws, but it's not something that, you know, is so flawed as to be worthless to a lot of people. So
I think the fact
it still has a lot of value.
I think the fact that someone could be beaten with a rubber hose to give up their Bitcoin makes it more real and believable as money.
Well, obviously the government thinks it has value. They still expect you to pay taxes on it. They still, you know, recognize it, you know, as a store of value.
Yep. But it's harder to know how much Bitcoin someone has than for the government than to know how much is in their bank account. If they're smart, you know, some people do things like Stefan Molyneux did, which is keep $150,000 worth of Bitcoin in the same public address that he lists on his website for donations. I wouldn't do that, even if I were planning on paying taxes on it. That would encourage someone to beat you with a rubber hose and take it. I hope that does not happen to him. Seriously. It's stupid to keep that much in one wallet, man. All right, we'll be back. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelps from Death Clocks. And UM's listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. So we're talking about Bitcoin, the decentralized currency that, I mean, when we talk about it with our friends on the internet, we don't stop to explain it like this because they've all been using it for 5 years and are all rich from it. No, not really. But I mean, the first Bitcoin transaction was 10,000 Bitcoin for one pizza. And that would now be worth what? $500,000? What's 10,000 Bitcoin? Something like that.
I can't do that math in my head, but worth more than a pizza to say the least.
Yeah, Bitcoin's around $400 right now, a little bit under, but it's a decentralized currency that, and we still like gold and silver, but it's kind of like gold you can email in a way that the government, you know, that's a good way to explain it to my dad, who's 93. All right, so who is Satoshi Nakamoto?
Everyone is Satoshi Nakamoto.
Who isn't Satoshi Nakamoto?
Who isn't Satoshi Nakamoto? Yeah. So that's the thing. So Satoshi Nakamoto is, you know, the creator of Bitcoin. It's this anonymous programmer or group of programmers. No one knows. And this is the kind of interesting thing. And so there's been all these theories that have come up, you know, who is Satoshi Nakamoto? And, you know, a lot of people answer with, oh, well, you are Satoshi Nakamoto, or the community is, or anyone using Bitcoin is that, because now Satoshi's kind of outgrown this idea of being a person and is now this idea.
It's the who killed Laura Palmer for the millennium.
Yeah. Or the who is John Galt.
Or yeah. Who is John Galt.
Or
yeah.
who shot JR.
Yeah.
For those fans of the TV show Dallas from the 80s.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. What's Davi's theory?
My favorite theory is that Satoshi Nakamoto is a shape-shifting reptile banker alien. So this is sort of like the David Icke theory of the world, is that all the global governments and all the global bankers are these, you know, shape-shifting aliens from Planet X who are all, you know, they engineered mankind to what?
Sorry, go ahead.
They engineered mankind to mine gold because Planet X needs gold because of global warming, their globe, not ours. But that they need gold. And so Planet X has this like wide elliptical orbit. It comes by every like 100 millennia or whatever. And so they genetically engineered chimpanzees to mine gold so that when the planet swings back around the next time around, they can steal all the gold. And so these conspiracy theorists are sort of anticipating this alien invasion from these reptile bankers from Planet X. And they imagine it as like a conventional sort of War of the Worlds invasion with like spaceships that come down and land. But I maintain that the blockchain and the Bitcoin technology is actually the first wave of this invasion. And the reason is because light travels faster than matter. And so the first wave of an intergalactic invasion should be information-based and not weapon-based. And so what they've done is they've engineered this program to satisfy all of the psychological needs that we have for gold, because they engineered those demands for us, right? They engineered us to want gold so we would mine it. And so they know exactly how to satisfy that primitive instinct so that when they arrive, they can sort of, you know, immediately absorb 51% of the mining capacity, take over the blockchain, and we'll have no more demand for gold. They'll just leave us with Bitcoin and take all the gold.
Did you have trouble in grade school, Davi? Did you have trouble concentrating and get in trouble?
I did not get in trouble. I learned a really interesting trick, and that is I can only pay attention to two things at once.
Yeah.
So I could pay attention in class as long as I was also reading something interesting.
You know,
there you go.
That theory, I know you're kidding, and it's funny as heck, but do you know about the movie The Thrive documentary?
Yeah. That guy's speaking at Libertopia, too.
That movie makes a case for something that is as wacky as what you said. And the movie has David Icke in it. And Jeff Berwick heavily promoted that movie as world-changing when it came out. I was kind of surprised.
Wow.
It's all right. It kind of seemed kind of like the Zeitgeist movies a bit. Yeah. Were they kind of doing the whole like resource-based economy thing? It was something similar. It wasn't quite resource-based economy, but it was
the Octolog thing.
I mean, the idea is basically, you know, us libertarians constantly say, all right, step A, ask for a voluntary society. Step B, Step C, achieve voluntary society. And, you know, people have filled in with that step B with everything from, you know, ridiculous
extraterrestrial shape-shifting reptile bankers.
You know, which is as ridiculous as some people say shooting cops, you know, which is another thing I've heard. But I don't think either of those are solutions. And I really think the reptile-based supercomputer socialist anarchist machine that makes all the decisions for you, like Zeitgeist, or the shape-shifting reptile technology of the Thrive movement, are both as ridiculous as the shooting cops step.
Well, I welcome the currency of these alien lizards.
I welcome our alien overlords.
Welcome them. I'm on their side in the revolution.
Well, they're just going to show up, take all the gold, and then bug out, and then they're going to leave us with no government or infrastructure. So, I mean, I think it's perfectly fine.
Computers won't work without gold. There is a little bit of gold in every computer.
That's true.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. So, Davi, you made an interesting claim during the break that you said I proved that Bitcoin is backed by gold. What?
Yeah, this has never occurred to me, and I've never heard anyone say this before. But if computer processors require gold to function, and Bitcoin requires computer processes to function, then indirectly Bitcoin is backed by gold. And so I wonder if you could actually somehow determine some sort of a ratio of like actual like meat space gold that represents the Bitcoin quantity represents.
What does meat space mean for those who
meat space is the opposite of cyberspace. Like cyberspace is where you and I go and meet with our like cyber avatars, and meat space is where you and I go and meet with, you know, the meat that we carry around.
Our flesh. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It means in real life as opposed to on the internet. So speaking of things that neckbeard libertarians do over the internet and sometimes in person, we're going to play a little bit of Libertarians Against Humanity. What is that?
Well, it's essentially Cards Against Humanity, but it's been altered so that it's what's the line? Megan says this in the commercial. It's by libertarians, for libertarians, against libertarians.
Yeah. And you can go to Libertarians Against Humanity to learn more. It's my friend Jim's project, and I helped with writing a few of these. Daryl Perry from Free Talk Live helped a little, and Jim wrote most of them. And basically, you randomly pick one from column A and one from column B and make a sentence that's funny because it's either so ridiculously false or so ridiculously true. And we're going to play this, the solitaire version of it, which you can get at freedomfiends.com/LAH, Libertarians Against Humanity, LAH. And we're going to play this for the rest of the show and explain why it's funny, to explain some basic concepts of liberty here. So ladies first, you want to go there, to, MK?
All right. I've clicked the generator. It says, Mises said you were all a bunch of buying a sheet of acid on the Silk Road. So this is interesting. The quote from Mises says, you're all a bunch of socialists. And then, everyone knows about the Silk Road. That was actually,
no, everyone doesn't.
Actually,
explain
everyone
both
doesn't know
parts
about the Silk
of this.
Road.
Explain the socialist part.
So Mises is, you know, he's famous Austrian economist. He's known for saying, you're all a bunch of socialists. He said this,
to a bunch of economists.
To a bunch of economists, basically. And if you're kind of familiar with basic economics, what they teach, it's a lot of, you know, Keynesian-based economics, and a lot of it is kind of where you derive a lot of the problems that we've seen economically. You know, Keynesian economics has been problematic for the economy and, you know, a lot of the problems that you've kind of seen. And then the Silk Road kind of came out. It was busted probably about almost a year ago. And
wait,
recently
you didn't explain what it is. Start with the biggest and go to the smallest.
So the Silk Road is an online dark web marketplace where you could buy drugs of all kinds and also other black market
fake
items.
Fake IDs,
guns, things like
or
that.
Anything.
Yeah.
And this was one of the first things that came out where people learned about Bitcoin because people were using Bitcoin to buy these items on the Silk Road. Now, the alleged operator, Dread Pirate Roberts, was busted, I guess, about a year ago. They're trying to say that Ross Ulbricht is Dread Pirate Roberts, who ran the site, and he's currently on trial.
And you can go to freeross.com to help out and learn more about him.
Freeross.org.
Freeross.org.
Learn about his case. The government has basically convicted him before they've even tried him.
Oh, yeah.
And a bunch of other sites have sprung up, too. The thing about the dark web is the government is playing a game of whack-a-mole with these sites because when one gets busted, more of them pop up in its stead. So this is something that can't really be stopped at this point.
Hail Hydra.
And Hail Hydra. Without- no, I will caution. The government is probably behind a lot of these sites. I will caution against
Why do you
using
think
them.
That?
Be extremely careful. I think that because if you look at the recent bus, there are some very questionable security activities. There are some very kind of ridiculous news. One of the operators hired a federal agent to overlook the operations. There seems to be some weird... You know, there's some shady stuff going on. But basically, I think these markets are going to continue to grow regardless of whether... I mean, obviously, they're already illegal, but that hasn't really stopped them from being created.
And that was a great description. So. And I liked once you started with the bigger and went to the smaller. And the reason I point that out, I'm not saying you did it wrong. This is a teaching hospital. And the Freedom Fiends, we're trying to teach dozens, if not hundreds of people, how to do live radio in a Liberty concept. And, you know, MK and Davi are solid on the Liberty stuff, and that's why they're on here. But Davi couldn't even speak into a microphone when we first got him on here. MK can actually speak into a microphone, but we're still getting her up to speed with actually doing it live with the show clock coming around and punching us in the face every few minutes. And it's a whole new thing. And I do want to say I gave out the wrong URL for Libertarians Against Humanity. It's freedomfiends.com/LOL, as in laugh out loud. So if you want to play the home board version. So Davi, tell us what we've won. No, Davi, tell me your next pick in Libertarians Against Humanity.
All right, hang on a second. Clicking play. In a free society, insurance companies could defend against aggressive foreign states by using an annoying radio ad about anarchist lapel pins.
All right, explain both of those concepts, please.
So the idea of an insurance company as a defense agency is sort of it's an untested but well contemplated concept in libertarian political theory, and it's called the DRO, or a dispute resolution organization.
Which Stefan Molyneux claims to have invented, or at least he never gives credit to. I think it was Mises that came up with it, but all of Stefan Molyneux's fans think he invented it, or a lot of them think
actually,
he invented it.
I'm not a fan, actually, of the dispute resolution organization. I'm not a fan of DRO as a name. I call them consensual liability arbitration networks, or a CLAN.
I think you should Google the word CLAN before you call it that with different
well,
spellings.
CLAN obviously exists, but the point is that it is very similar to a CLAN in primitive stateless societies. There were these things called CLANs. In some societies, they were familial, in others they were consensual based. And the idea is that by subscribing or being a member, just like an insurance company, you are entitled to certain services in the event of an emergency. That's
so basically
the function
like
of an insurance company.
Instead of having a government to send police over to shoot your dog when you call them, which they do more and more, you would have like the Peacekeeper app on your smartphone. And if someone's breaking in, you'd press it and it would call eight neighbors that you have this mutual contract with, and they would all come over and stop the burglar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, I want to know, and it kind of answers the question of without the government, who would provide, defense? Who would provide the policing? And here's what, and that kind of solves the problem too. I would look up the Peacekeeper app because that could kind of solve the problem of, you know, people always say, well, you know, if police were privatized, only the wealthy would have police, but that's not true. You know, if poor people were willing to run over and defend their neighbors in an emergency or drive them to the hospital or put their, you know, like have a fire company together. But I want to ask you guys both this. Without the government, who would build the Silk Roads?
Well, the government didn't build the Silk Road, so I guess the Dread Pirate Roberts will.
Yeah, but I think we got a show title there. But
yeah, that's a good one.
So read again your result in Libertarians Against Humanity, and we'll explain both parts of it. I don't think we got to the second
part. In a free society, insurance companies could defend against aggressive foreign states by using an annoying radio ad about anarchist lapel pins.
Yeah.
And the second half of that is it's about a jingle for shinybadges.com, which was too good for radio.
Yeah.
And it just got stuck in people's heads. And I got so many complaints about it because, people had it stuck in their head all day. It was so good. And so now I am offering restitution to those people who were damaged by the jingle in the form of worms. If you buy something from shinybadges.com and you say worms in the transaction notes, I'll send you something weird.
Yep. So I just got a windowless bunker full of uploading videos of yourself doing DMT on YouTube. the first part of this, a windowless bunker full of, is a reference to my old, now retired intro for the Freedom Fiends, where I'd say, "This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America." So windowless bunker kind of became a joke, and I'm not really in a windowless bunker. I'm in a house with windows. I kind of have a windowless bunker of the mind, though. I don't interface in meat space with the world much by choice. You know, I poke my head out of my windowless bunker of the mind once a year to go to Porkfest, and if I see my shadow, we have five more years of tyranny. But so a windowless bunker full of, and then the second part, uploading videos of yourself doing DMT on YouTube. I believe that is a reference to a couple people have done that. DMT is a really weird psychedelic
hundreds
drug.
Hundreds of people have done that.
But two people that are
One specific Liberty guy.
Yeah, who is it?
Adam Kokesh.
Adam Kokesh is one, but I think also Joe Rogan may have done that. I know Joe Rogan has talked about a lot about DMT, so I'm assuming maybe he did, but I don't know, so I'm not going to say it. But
you know, I don't know that he would do a video of it. He's spoken a lot about it. Yeah, you know, I listen to his podcast from time to time, but I don't know that he would go as far as uploading a video.
Yeah, and of him doing that. DMT is a. I haven't done drugs in 20 years, but I never got to do DMT, but I would be scared of it. It's it's a psychedelic. The description I've heard is that LSD is like being let out of a cage and DMT is like being shot out of a gun, but it only lasts about 45 minutes. So it's,
I've never done DMT, but well, go ahead.
In the 60s, the nickname for it was the businessman's lunch. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could smoke it on your lunch hour and then be, you know, coherent enough to go back to work after lunch, but that's what they called it.
It's awful.
I never
tasting.
Did DMT, but I did do DXM in a windowless bunker.
You mean cough medicine?
That was a really terrifying experience because DXM is dextromethorphan. It's the primary ingredient in Robitussin, and it's a disassociative. So if you overdose on it or if you dose on it, then you lose track of who you are as an individual, and you become disassociated from your body and your environment.
I'm not so interested. For me, and PCP is a disassociative, if people want a comparison.
So I actually became convinced that the windowless bunker that I was in was the only thing in existence.
Why is it that so many people take psychedelics and have thoughts that seem kind of tyrannical about the universe being based around them? I actually remember at a Grateful Dead show, a guy who was tripping and thought all the applause for the band was for him.
Weird.
Yeah, we'll be back. All right.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms! What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defued yet. Because if we don't laugh, the status win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those with easily rustled jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience drop in blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, "A longer leash, if you can keep it, ma'am." For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Freedom Fiends, brought to you by atomic radio clocks that my co-hosts will soon have. And if you want to buy an atomic radio clock, you can go to they're like $15 or $18, and they're great. They sync with a government controlled clock in Colorado. And if you go to freedomfiends.com, if you go to creamyradioaudio.com and search clock in the search field, it'll come up. And there's two different styles. They're about the same price. One's little, one's big. The big one, it takes up more room, but you can see it from across the room. So, Davi, what's your Libertarians Against Humanity?
Well, I like this one because it's both true and false. When I moved to New Hampshire, I planned to have a gun in the room.
Is it the gun in the room or a gun in the room?
Oh, it says the gun in the room. All right. It's still true and false.
Why is it true and false?
Well, it's true because, well, first off, New Hampshire is one of the most gun-friendly states in the union. And I probably will occasionally go shooting when I move there. But it's also false because the gun in the room is a concept in libertarianism for the government, right? Yeah, like, it's the idea that no matter what you're discussing politically, there is an invisible gun in the room, which is whatever you're advocating politically is being enforced somehow. So when you say, like, well, I don't think that, you know, kids who are 19 years old should be drinking beer. Like, me either. But if you're talking about banning it, you're talking about pointing a gun at kids that are 19 years old and preventing them from drinking beer. And so the expression of the gun in the room is sort of to emphasize and point out this invisible concept that people ignore when they're talking about the things that they want to ban or the way they want to control society. So when I move to New Hampshire, there won't be a gun in the room. I won't be advocating that people be shot for things, and hopefully no one else will either.
Are you moving to New Hampshire?
Yeah, eventually. I'm a signer, cool. Although I have no immediate plans.
I'm a signer, but I'm not moving. I was coerced to sign, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I was bullied.
Someone put a gun to your head?
No, but I was bullied into it.
Under duress.
I was literally bullied into it on the forum, and I'm not going to – that's nothing to do with the Free State Project. It's not – it was a bad member who did that, and I was new and – was like, I don't know. Okay, I will. Yeah, but I wouldn't do that now. I don't do things I don't want to do. So my Libertarians Against Humanity from freedomfiends.com/LOL is Bitcoin is better than another 4-hour Google Hangout video with bad audio on voluntary virtues that no one will ever watch. Okay, Bitcoin is better than, that's the first part of that. Bitcoin is better than whatever is, you know, something people say a lot, like Bitcoin is better than gold. Bitcoin is better than money. Bitcoin is better than sex.
Food.
Yeah. And really, it's just a way.
Actually, there was a Bitcoin is better than sex talk at Coins in the Kingdom.
Yeah, but really, it's not better than any of the, it's not better than any of those things. It's a way to pay for gold, food, and sex.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So who wants to tackle the second part of this? Another 4-hour Google Hangout video with bad audio on voluntary virtues that no one will ever watch. It's kind of mean. I didn't write it, but anyone want to explain
that? Is that about voluntary virtues as a show, right? I don't think I've ever watched it.
It's not a show. It's a network. I think it's run by Mike Shanklin.
Okay. And does it have particularly bad audio? Is that why?
A lot of it has particularly bad audio. Yeah. And which is kind of sad because these days it's pretty easy to get particularly good audio if you're willing to spend about $60 and go to creamyradioaudio.com and click on the link, How We Podcast, or the link that says podcast and radio with the picture of the mixing board. So, yeah. All right. Who's next? Megan.
I got one. True libertarians never like a hot libertarian woman getting lots of hits on YouTube recycling verbatim things she heard from LRN.
That's kind of mean, too. That's funny.
But, ouch.
Well, you're are not one of the women. Which is
no,
a good
I'm
thing.
Not a hot libertarian woman.
You are a hot libertarian woman, but
getting lots of hits on YouTube.
The part that's not you is recycling things verbatim you've heard on Liberty Radio Network. You don't do that. You have your own voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I actually co-wrote this one. So the first part, you want to take the first part? True libertarians.
I think I'll take a stab. So the true libertarians, you know, there's this, you know, this purity kind of, you're not a real libertarian unless, and you know, there's a disproportionate amount of men to women in libertarianism. And you do kind of see some hostility towards some of the popular libertarian women from some of the libertarian men. And yeah, so I think a lot of it comes down to purity, but you wrote this, so.
Well, the second part of it is just, there have been some women who came out of nowhere, didn't have anything other than being cute, and were totally recycling things that other people had said and suddenly got really popular because of it. It's just kind of the market of,
it's, you know, easy for us.
Yeah. All right. It's been a good show. MK Lords and Davi Barker. This is Michael Dean. It's been the Freedom Fiends, and it's been a great time, man. I've been having fun. Say worms.
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 Meow. 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 Meow.